This week's parsha is Parshas Pinchas. A number of beautiful and important events happen in Parshas Pinchas. I guess I could say like in every parsha of the Chumash. So the parsha begins, it's really a continuation of the end of Parshas Balak and the aftermath of the terrible sin of the Israelite men with the non-Jewish woman led by Zimri ben Salu, the head of the tribe of Shimon, with Cosby Bas Tzur, the Midianite Pinchas. Pinchas rises up, Pinchas ben Aaron, ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he rises up and he kills the pair who are publicly laying and sinning together. And the beginning of Parshas Pinchas just summarizes for us this narrative that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen took vengeance for God. He turned away God's wrath, and God gives him the promise of peace and the promise of Kohunas Olam, eternal priesthood. He atoned for the Bnei Yisrael, and we are told of the name of the man from the Israelite nation who was sinning, which is Zimri, and the name of the woman from the Midianite nation who was sinning, which is Cosby. Okay, after that, which is only a few psukim long, at the beginning of the Sedra in Parachav Hei, we come to Parachav Vav, and it was after the plague, 24,000 Israelites died as a result of this travesty, this sin. And Hashem said to Moshe and to Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Lemor, Se'u es rosh kal das b'nei Yisrael, take a census of the heads of the entire assembly of Israel from the age of 20 and up for their father's household, all who are prepared to go to war in Israel. And Moshe and Elazar spoke in the plains of Moab by Yarden Yericho, saying, from the year of 20 and up, like Hashem commanded Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael, who came up from the land of Egypt, Reuven Bechar Yisrael, and it gives you the family of Reuven and the number of Reuven. Shimon, according to his family's house, the children of Shimon, and the number of Shimon. And what happens is that now we have God, the Torah continues and lists all the tribes of Israel and their census. The last tribe to be listed, if you're interested, you could look on Parachav Vav, you will see the entire census. However, the last tribe who is counted is who? Naphtali. Okay, Parachav Vav pasuk mem ches in Bamidbar. Bnei Naphtali lemishpachosam leyachzeel mishpachas hayachzeeli leguni mishpachas haguni leyetzer mishpachas hayitziri leshile mishpachas hashilemi el mishpachos Naphtali lemishpachosam ufikudeim chamisha va'arba'im elef va'arba'meos. It tells me the sons of Naphtali. It tells me the total census of the families of Naphtali, 45,400. And then the Chumash says el pekudei bnei Yisrael. These are the counted amongst the children of Israel, Sheish Meos Aleph for Aleph, Shva Meos Shloshim, so 601,730. So, what do we have? The last tribe of all the tribes counted is Naphtali, and then Parakhov Bav, Pasuk Nunbet, right after Naphtali is counted, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, God spoke to Moshe saying, Le'ela Techale Ka'aretz B'nachala B'mispar Shemus, to these the land shall be divided as an inheritance according to the numbers of the names, L'rav Tarba Nachala So, V'lam'at Tam'it Nachala. So to the tribe of many you shall increase its inheritance, to the tribe of few in number you shall lessen its inheritance. Each one, each the fee, pikudav, yutan, nachlaso, each one according to the counted, his inheritance shall be given, and it should be done with a goral. So what is interesting is nothing in the Chumash is an accident. Not the words chosen, not the shorashim, not the letters chosen. There's no such thing as an extra letter in Chumash, an extra word. And the order of narratives in the Chumash is also of significance. And there are many times in Rashi tells us, why does this topic follow this topic? Why does this topic precede this topic? So interesting, I came across a beautiful insight that I have never seen before preparing this year, which I'm going to share with you. Why is Naphtali the last tribe counted? It's in Parachav Vav, Psukim Mem Ches, through none. And then immediately after Naphtali is counted, God says to Moses, to these you shall apportion or divide the land according to the inheritance, according to the numbers of the names. Why does Naphtali immediately precede the command to divide the land? So I'm quoting from the Sefer Eretz Yisrael in the Parsha by Rabbi Moshe D. Lechtman. And he brings us a very, very beautiful insight. Here we go. So, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman writes as follows. Many parts of Parshas Pinchas are directly or indirectly connected to the Holy Land. Immediately after conducting the story of Pinchas, immediately after concluding the story of Pinchas, including the order to take revenge against the Midianites for their share in the deaths of 24,000 Jews, Hashem then commands Moshe and Elazar, remember Aaron died already in Parshas Chukas Perachof, Hashem commands Moshe and Elazar to count the children of Israel. What is the purpose of the census? The Torah tells us, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, to these the land shall be divided as an inheritance. So why do I need to have the number? Not only are they going into Eretz Yisrael, they have to know how many are able to go to war, but also we have to divide the land. So I have to know how many are in each tribe in order to know how to apportion land. And now Rabbi Moshe D. Lichman, it's in Sefer Eretz Yisrael in the Parsha. He writes, I came across a very interesting Sefer called Semuchim La'ad, written by the great Kabbalist Rabbi Eliyahu Kohen, author of Shiftei Musar and Me'il Tzedakah. And the main goal of this Sefer is to explain the connections between the various subsections of the Torah, demonstrating that the Torah is written in logical order and sequence. With regard to the connection between the census in Parshas Pinchas, and immediately that's followed by the division of the land, the author of the Sefer Semuchim La'ad points out that the last tribe to be counted was Shevet Naphtali. This, he says, alludes to some of the special qualities of Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Naphtali is juxtaposed with La'eda Techalek Es Ha'aretz means that there's a connection between Naphtali and Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Moshe D. Lichman quotes four answers from the Sefer as to the connection between Naphtali and Eretz Yisrael. Answer number one, the Medrash says that Naphtali's portion was especially suited for Torah learning, quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Thus, the Torah juxtaposed the division of the land to the counting of Naphtali, to hint to the strong connection that exists between Eretz Yisrael and Limud Torah, Torah study. As Chazal say, Meseches Bava Basra, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the land of Israel makes one wise, and what is wisdom? What is Chachma? Torah. So that's the first reason that's given. Naphtali's portion was especially suited for Torah learning. Bereishis Rabbah 71:11, the Torah juxtaposed the division of the land to the count of Naphtali, to hint to the strong connection that exists between Eretz Yisrael and Torah Yisrael. Reason number one. Reason number two. In his Sefer Semuchim La'ad, Rabbi Eliyahu Kohn also points out that the word Naphtali means prayer. We know this. It's based on Bereishis when Naphtali was born. Naphtuli Elokim Niftalti. If you pay attention to the Shorish Tefillah, it is the same in Naphtali. That's its own shir in and of itself. But Naphtali also means prayer. This alludes to the fact that one's prayers are more readily answered in Eretz Yisrael more than anywhere else in the world. As the Sefer Semuchim La'ad writes, because there is nothing preventing one's prayer from ascending heavenward, for the atmosphere of the land is free of the husks which prevent our prayers from passing through outside the land. In addition, the gate of heaven is located there. So the first reason is because Naphtali's portion is suited for Limud Torah, so it teaches us the strong connection between Torah learning and Eretz Yisrael. The second reason is because Naphtali means prayer. This teaches us that the land of Israel is more ripe for the Ribbono Shel Olam to accept our prayers than anywhere else, because the gate of heaven is located there. The third reason, Chazal derived from a pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, the descendants of Naphtali eventually committed terrible acts of idolatry, of avodah zarah. This being the case, why did they receive a portion in the land? Nonetheless, they received a portion of the land because God judges people based on the present. And at the time of the conquest and division of the land, the children of Naphtali were righteous. Additionally, this teaches us, said the author, that as Chazal teaches in Maseches Ksubos, the land of Israel atones for one's sins. So even though Naphtali would eventually be idol worshippers and commit the terrible act of Avodah Zarah, their descendants, nevertheless, because Eretz Yisrael is mechaper for a person's sins, therefore they were zocha to receive a portion of land. So the first reason is Torah. The second reason is tefillah. The third reason is the power of teshuva in Eretz Yisrael, kapara. And finally, reason number four, Moshe blessed Naphtali at the end of Sefer Devarim as follows. Naphtali seva ratzon umale berkas Hashem. Naphtali is satiated with favor and filled with the blessing of the Lord. Thus, our parsha juxtaposes Naphtali in the division of the land to hint to the fact that it is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not a shaliach, not an angel, not a messenger of God, who provides the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael with all of their needs, making it a very plentiful land. Four beautiful reasons that heighten for us, that increase our love for Eretz Yisrael, that make us realize once again how precious Eretz Yisrael is to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and how precious it should be to us. Why is the tribe of Naphtali Palas in the sentence, right, census, right before we are told about the division of the land? One, because the Torah learning of Eretz Yisrael is so powerful. Two, because the tefillos we utter in Eretz Yisrael have such tremendous power. Three, because Eretz Yisrael serves as a kapara for one's sins. being an Eretz Yisrael serves as a kapara for one sins. And number four, to remind us, Naftali Siva Ratzon Umale Birkas Hashem, from Birkas Moshe to Naftali, to remind us that it is not a messenger who gives brachos to those living in Eretz Yisrael. It is the Ribono Shel Olam himself who gives brachos to those living in Eretz Yisrael. How incredible and how gevaldic, how beautiful is our Torah. Nothing is an accident, not a word, not a letter, not topics that are juxtaposed. Everything comes to teach us a powerful message. We just daven to Hashem to give us the Chachma, Bina, and Das, and the Pokeach Irim to investigate, to learn, to find the Pshat, the Drash, and not only should we be enamored by the beauty of Torah, but we must remember to be enamored by the beauty, the grandeur, the Chemda, the uniqueness and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, La'ela, Techalik, Ha'aretz, B'nechala, B'mispar, Shemos. Thank you so much. I wish everybody a wonderful day, and Be'ezer Hashem, Shabbat Shalom, Kol Tov, and thank you to all.